I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
After several delays, some migrants are evicted from city-run shelters. It's part of Chicago's new 60-day limit on shelter stays. But earlier this week, the city issued thousands of exemptions to migrant families with children.
The Supreme Court will weigh whether the government crossed a constitutional line by pressuring social media platforms to take down content it deemed misleading on topics like COVID-19 and the 2020 presidential election.
Donald Trump has a history of this dark, violent, dangerous rhetoric, and we already saw the result of what happens when he uses that rhetoric. Even though every single Republican that is asked is going to try to spin it and pretend that it really had nothing to do with a real bloodbath, his cult MAGA supporters and followers totally know exactly what he was telling them.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry. And this is one more. It's just bull.
He's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are live from West Palm Beach. Today is March 18th, 2024, Anno Domini. A bloodbath! A bloodbath, they say! Bloodbath! 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 We're going to say it over and over and over. But let me tell you something, folks. So I took the day off of social media yesterday. I'm doing No Screen Sundays. Took the day off social media, came back today. And I went and I saw, and I kind of had already seen how this played out Saturday night. President Trump used the word bloodbath to describe a situation with the auto industry. The media took it out of context, spun it up out there. But what I looked at this morning when I went to catch back up was how the right responded to the media. And I have to say, it was abysmal. It was sad. It was pathetic. It was not going to go so far as to say inept, but I will say it was impotent. It was flaccid. It was impotent. It was weak. This was a weak response. We don't have a lot of time left. Are you going to sit up there and continue complaining and whining about the fact, oh, the media is not treating me fairly. Oh, I'm not getting equal treatment. The media is lying. They're taking things out of context. Whatever are we going to do? Suck it up. Suck it up and fight back. Stop complaining and stop whining and stop crying about it on Fox News. And oh, by the way, I saw as well that there were Republicans, and I kept an eye on this, and I went through Republicans who went on mainstream media, all the morning shows, ABC, NBC, the Sunday shows, ABC, NBC, CBS. And the Republicans who went up there didn't push back. They didn't fight back. And in fact, you even had Senator Mike Rounds go up there from Ruby Red, South Dakota, went on the Sunday shows and distanced himself from President Trump's comment. This is why the old right loses. This type of mentality that says we have to play by the rules that the left sets for us but never holds themselves to. Then the other thing you did was completely surrender the narrative to the left for a 24-hour period. This is why the response was so pathetic. You're going to sit there and complain about double standards and not do anything to drive the narrative. Did you talk about Lake and Riley? Wow, just like that, the mainstream media got the entire right to stop talking about Lake and Riley overnight. They are controlling you. You are acting like controlled opposition, and you need to wake up. And you don't have enough time. We don't have time for this. You got Supreme Court justices up there right now saying that we need to they were perfectly fine to censor social media during a pandemic, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. That's what Ketanji Brown Jackson said. But no, you've got Republicans that don't seem like it's interesting to them to actually fight back, put points on the board, and go on offense. You want to talk about bloodbaths? Let's talk about what the Democrats have done in every major city in America every single weekend. I'd love to talk about bloodbaths. We'll talk about them all day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
In the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, West Palm Beach. I want to tell you guys about today's sponsor for the show, Allegiance Gold. If you're part of the Human Events daily audience, you know exactly what's going on with the United States dollar. And Vladimir Putin said it himself during the Tucker Carlson interview that was seen over 100 million times. We're printing too much money, and the weaponization of the U.S. dollar was a catastrophic mistake. The consequences of overprinting could be catastrophic for your family's future, with 401k accounts losing 25% of their value the past 2 to 3 years. Why would you continue to risk your personal savings? Don't gamble with your financial future. Invest in the one thing that's been proven stable for centuries, gold. From the company that I trust, Allegiance Gold. You won't be disappointed, folks. I know them. I've spent time with Mark and Michael. Their relationships are based on integrity, expertise, and impeccable service. That's why they've earned the highest trust rating in the precious metal industry. Go to protectwithposo.com or call 844-577-POSO. Right now, get up to $5,000 in free silver with a qualifying purchase. Don't get fooled by inflated stock values or the promise that the economy is stable. Protect your financial future today. Protectwithposo.com. That's protectwithposo.com, or call 844-577-POSO. Very excited to welcome here in studio with us, live and in person. Very honored, of course, legendary political strategist, Roger Stone. Roger, how are you?
Jack, great to be with you again.
Roger, I was just talking about the Republican response, and I've actually been very critical of the Republican response to this bloodbath hoax, this bloodbath out of context statement by the Democrats and their media allies. And here's my point is, I think that the Republicans have forgotten how to go on offense. And they're spending all of their time, and they're doing a good job, I guess, of pushing back a little and say, oh, that president's comments were taken out of context. But they're spending all their time doing that and not spending any time pushing their own talking points. They've stopped talking about Lake and Riley. They've stopped talking about the border. And most importantly, they've also completely overlooked the fact that this distraction was done because Trump was the one who actually exposed this crooked deal between China and Mexico for the auto parts and the EVs that's being done south of the border. Do Republicans understand that we only have a few months left in order to push this across? What would be the better way to do this in a political campaign?
Well, in all honesty, though, this is what Nancy Pelosi openly calls the wrap-up smear.
Yes.
Where you create a falsehood, you get the mainstream media to report it, then you point to that story as certification that the charge is true. They've done it again and again. The Russian collusion hoax, the Steele dossier, the Russians hacked the DNC.
which never happened. Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. Donald Trump wants us to drink bleach or inject yes. or inject bleach to address COVID.
Straight into our veins.
Trump was keeping the nuclear codes at Mar-a-Lago, and he was going to sell them to the Russians and or the Chinese. Take your pick. The problem here is twofold. One, they no longer have monolithic control of all mass communications in the United States. Largely, we can thank not only Elon Musk, but independent outlets like Real America's Voice and others for that. But secondarily, people are kind of on to their whole fundamental dishonesty. So, look, I am one of those who believes that you can't let any charge go unanswered. And therefore, yes, I think those who are key supporters of the president, whether they be influencers, whether they be elected officials, whether they be party officials, do need to counterpunch on the fact that this quote was taken completely out of context. But then you have to swift right back to offense as yes. soon as possible. I'm sorry, Bidenomics are a disaster. Go to Bidenomics.com, which the Biden people weren't smart enough to buy, and you'll get the truth about how fragile our current economy is.
Wait, Roger. Are you saying that you've purchased or someone has purchased Bidenomics.com and is now set up the actual truth about the Biden economy on Bidenomics.com?
Go to Bidenomics.com. It is an excellent expose of how fragile and disastrous the economic policies of Joe Biden really are. All of these numbers, the stock market numbers are misinterpreted. The unemployment and inflation numbers are manipulated. And the proof of this are the low approval ratings for Joe Biden. If people really had consumer confidence, if they were really optimistic about the economic future of themselves and their families, well, it would be reflected in his approval ratings. It's not, because they don't. And trotting out all of these phony arguments isn't going to help. We should be pounding on the Biden energy policies, which have not only forced us back to begging Venezuela and the Saudis and others for oil. It's also because we can get oil that has a much higher sulfur content, like that of Venezuela. It's more expensive to refine, therefore that's getting passed on to the consumers in gasoline prices. At the same time, we're enriching the Russians, who have oil to sell, and we're re-empowering Iran because we took the sanctions off of them, and they are back to selling their oil to our enemies again. These are the things we should be talking about, not whether Donald Trump was cheap-shotted when he made a reference to a bloodbath, which, if you even go to the basic dictionary, the third definition is an economic definition of a disaster within a specific economic sector. So this is so transparent, it's ridiculous.
And Roger, on the fact of it too, it also shows, and I worry, that a lot of people on the right, and of course, we love the fact that there are more people willing to call out the mainstream media. Any person who's willing to do that is a friend of mine. But the other side of it is, we also cannot get distracted. We cannot be distracted from our focus. We shouldn't be distracted from our agenda. We shouldn't be distracted from our talking points. And the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump, I think, as far as I know, is the only Republican in America who's willing to talk about these crooked trade deals between China, Mexico, the car dealerships, the electronic vehicles, the EV mandate that Biden has put down. This is becoming a huge issue, of course, in Michigan, a huge issue as well in Wisconsin with the auto workers. But it's also something where when he says, I will slap a 100% tariff on those cars crossing the border, that's something that the Chamber of Commerce doesn't want to hear either.
Yeah, I do think to a certain extent you have to recognize that this new attack on Trump, taking his remarks out of context, trying to make it sound like he was calling for violence when that's specifically not what he was doing, are also born out of frustration. Anybody who read the proceedings in the Florida documents case last week has to come away with the interpretation that while the judge did not seem to be impressed with the Presidential Records Act defense, she did seem to be interested in the selective prosecution defense, i.e., Joe Biden, based on the special counsel's report, willfully and illegally retained documents from his time as vice president and U.S. senator in violation of law, but he's not being prosecuted. Donald Trump, the government argues, did the same thing. Trump denies that. I don't believe it's true. But nonetheless, he's being prosecuted for the same crime.
And Hur's report could then come up in that actual case as an example to speaking to the selective prosecution.
Yes. On the other hand, if she were just theoretically to dismiss the case tomorrow, then Trump loses the venue to make the very strong argument that Jack Smith's appointment is illegal, that he was never confirmed by the Senate. Essentially, the argument made by former Reagan Attorney General Ed Meese and two law school professors who are not Trump supporters, but have, I think, a very strong argument. Trump has filed that motion, or Trump's lawyers have, in Florida, but they need to flesh it out and I think push it. The left, meaning Andrew Weissman, Neil Keitel, Norm Eisen, these guys will go out of their minds if, and I don't know that this will happen, but if the judge in Florida, Eileen Cannon, dismisses the case against Donald Trump on selective prosecution grounds.
And so this is a key, well, you say Neil Eisen and all of these types, and I always tell people that who do I pay attention to on the left and who are your favorite reads on the left? I say it's Norm Eisen, it's Andrew Weissman. These are the guys are the brain trust of the left, and you and I talked about this almost 6 months ago when they were talking about stripping Trump off the ballot. Who was the first people to say that? Who were the first names? It was Norm Eisen, Andrew Weissman. So what they are saying today is an indication of the machinations and the lawfare that we will see tomorrow.
Yeah, look, there's no question about that. Weissman, obviously the man who engineered my indictment, yes, after not finding any evidence of Russian collusion or WikiLeaks collaboration or any other crime. They hooked up process crimes in order to pressure me to offer false testimony against Donald Trump, which I, of course, wouldn't do. Those guys are the architects of the two two impeachments. They're the architects of Russian collusion. They're the architects of this bloodbath assault yesterday. They're the architects of the tsunami of lawfare against Donald Trump. If you follow it, once Trump had the documents case, which was clearly planned by the National Archives working with the Biden White House, filed against him, but by the luck of the draw, he got Eileen Cannon, a fair judge, happened to be a Trump appointee. It was then and only then that they decided to file charges against him in D.C. Well, Andrew Weissman predicted that. He actually called for it just before it happened.
And this is why they're so upset right now. Quick break. We're back. Roger Stone in studio. I have to think about when the last time you and I have been in studio together for a show was. It's been a minute. We're back. West Palm Beach.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
Jack Posobiec back live here, West Palm Beach, Florida, down on business. Folks, got to tell you, though, the world in flames. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster, but it cannot and it will not ruin my day. Do you know why? That's because I start every day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. Yes, even when on location, we know that Blackout Coffee is 100% America, 100% committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process. Customer support and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Yes, even down here, we got Tanya Tay. We brought the Blackout Coffee. She's making it every morning. It powers me, powers the show, powers the work. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Easter is still coming up. We're close, but if you get your orders in now, you can get a subscription 1 month. They'll send it straight to your door, Blackout Coffee. That's blackoutcoffee.com/poso, promo code POSO20. Roger, we've got Roger Stone in the studio with us. I want to play this clip for you that just came out of the Supreme Court Just this morning, Ketanji Brown Jackson, there's this case going on regarding the state of Missouri, and they've sued regarding the coercion of social media platforms during COVID-19 or using COVID-19 as a premise, the federal government going to these agencies. Listen to Ketanji Brown Jackson's, it's not even a question, it's a statement that she makes in the case. Do we have that, guys?
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, you know, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
And Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is,
Roger, that's a Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, appointed by Joe Biden, confirmed by the Senate, saying that the First Amendment hamstrings the government in important times. She mentions COVID-19 as a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. She says the government's adding their speech by telling people their basic safety guidelines isn't enough, that the government must come in to protect the citizens. And then she adds, especially at a time when there is so much threatening misinformation that's being spread. I don't think we should be surprised how she's going to rule on this one, but let's just take those statements on their face. What does it mean that we have someone on the Supreme Court that's espousing these beliefs?
Well, she's woke. I mean, this is the same woman who, as a nominee to the court, couldn't define what a woman was. So this really isn't surprising. What's amazing is her view is that the government and the government's needs are paramount to the U.S. Constitution. They are not. There's a reason they call this the First Amendment. It's a reason it's the First Amendment. Everything flows from free speech. And then secondarily is this idea that it's not enough for the government just to put out their narrative, but everything else is kind of deemed disinformation. Who is to say that the views of Jack Posobiec on any given topic, or anyone else for that matter, that that's disinformation? Who is the arbiter of what's true and what's false? If we allow that that's the government, well, then we're going to be lied to a lot. This is a fundamental free speech argument. This may be the most important case to come before the court, other than perhaps the immunity case we're waiting on regarding Donald Trump.
And I'd like to thank the Human Events team in there for getting me clips and just kind of going through, parsing through some of these arguments and pulling this out. Again, Jackson over and over saying that she's nudging them back to these concessions, that if there was coercion, that there might be a First Amendment violation, but saying that it's allowable, an allowable violation because of the once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And it sounds like she's trying to get back to this yelling fire in a crowded theater, falsely yelling fire in a crowded theater argument that the government can come in the name of protection. It's always done in the name of protection in order to censor free speech.
Well, Lincoln did suspend habeas corpus of that section of the Constitution during World War II. During the Civil War. So there is some precedent, but...
Well, there were some civil liberties violations during World War II as well. I'm sure that's what you're thinking of.
There certainly were.
Maybe we could ask George Takei about that.
The point, of course, is that these people see government as supreme. And as far as her claim that this was a one-time event, well, not if you listen to Bill Gates. I don't think they plan it to be a one-time event. So, look, this is a crucial ruling But they are the party of censorship, of cancellation, of shadow banning, of attempting to control the narrative, not only for election purposes, but in terms of getting control of the American people. This is about money and control.
I think there's no question that this will certainly come into play, not only for the future and for this case, but also for the election writ large. I actually had the opportunity to, so I was on one of these X spaces. Have you done an X space yet?
I did one with you and General Flynn.
You did,
and
that's
Alex
right,
Jones.
You did that one. That was
wild.
A fantastic one. We did one of those where it was Jones and a whole cavalcade of circus folk came on, let's say. So it's Jones, myself, and then Elon Musk himself hops on. This is the one where Vivek Ramaswamy forgot to put himself on mute, and it was the live stream heard around the world. And I had the opportunity, though, to ask Musk this very question. I said, that's all well and good that you are willing to push back on censorship that took place in 2020, but what are you to do if the FBI or the powers that be come to you now and ask you to censor public and lawful information? I mean, we're not talking about sharing phone numbers and bank records and addresses and this type of thing, but lawful public information. And would you fight back? Elon said first he would take them to court, he would ask them to present a warrant, and then finally said, I would be willing to go to jail rather than actually take something down. Do you think we can take him at his word, or do you think that's basically the most he's willing to give us?
Look, who was the first person who was out there to debunk the so-called bloodbath video that drove the left wild? He was probably the single most effective person, also with the largest following on X, since he's the owner, and was very effective. Joe Scarborough posted some crazy post on X claiming that Trump was calling for violence, and Elon essentially shamed him into taking it down. So, no, I take him at his word. In fact, I shudder to think what this skirmish would have been like this weekend over the bloodbath video if X were not in operation, if there was no Truth Social, if Telegram didn't still exist, if there weren't outlets like, well, Real America's Voice. It's a different day. They're hysterical because they're losing their monopoly on mass communications. And only with the monopoly on mass communications can they fool the people. Tough to tell people who actually see the price of gasoline that gasoline is low. Tough to tell people who are getting grocery bills that they're having to go to, buy now, pay later, or put on a credit card. Groceries. That everything's really going.
We have the highest credit card debt that we've ever had as a nation right now.
Well, but we're also finding that 67% of grocery purchases are being put on these buy now, pay later programs.
Right.
Groceries. These are not like exorbitant purchases.
No, this is that's a new very, TV, very scary. A new car, or something like that.
Very scary.
So, as we're looking forward to it, do you believe that the advent of this alternative media has? Do you think it's moved the needle enough to have an effect directly on the election, or are still there too many people, or still kind of stuck in that old media sphere?
That's a very good question. I think the move of Tucker Carlson from cable television, where he had a very large audience,
yes,
but perhaps an older audience, to over to X, where he has now many, 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 many more viewers, skewing a little lower, demonstrates the power of the new media. And it is why they are so hysterical. They can't gag, they can't silence anyone who disagrees with them. Is it enough? Well, Trump is leading in all the polls today for some reason. It means voters are seeing through the false narrative of January 6th. They're seeing through the false narrative of the so-called documents that he retained. People are seeing this for what it is. They certainly saw through the case in New York where they literally seek to strip him from his wealth and now put a price tag on the appeal bonds that are so high that it prevents him from appealing an egregious decision made by a judge who says he was guilty before the trial even started. The American people are fair, and frankly, even the mainstream media has had to cover those aspects of the trial. So I think we are breaking through. Whether we've reached critical mass or not remains to be seen.
And that really is the big question, because I'll get these media push polls every once in a while saying 60% of Americans believe that Trump should stand trial, and 70% of Americans say they won't vote for Trump if he's convicted. And then I look at the actual Trump polls, and it doesn't reflect these other artificial media polls that are coming in. We're coming up on a quick break, Roger, but when we're back, I really need to get you to weigh in on, I think, the billion-dollar question that is among us. President Trump is running, but he's not going to be running alone. And in all of this fight, the president, as all presidents do on their tickets, needs a wingman, perhaps a wingwoman. Love to get in that with you.
Jack, where's Jack? Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack.
Thank you.
What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, West Palm Beach. We've got Roger Stone in the studio, folks. Any questions you want for Roger, throw them in the comments. We'll get it up there. My biggest question, Roger, the President of the United States, anyone who wants to be President of the United States, I should say, runs but does not run alone. We know that the RNC will be coming up very soon. With the primary closed, the convention looming, this is typically the time when the VP process, the VP stakes, as it were, kicks off. It's already kicked off. We've heard the president go through a number of iterations saying, well, perhaps he's looking at a woman, perhaps looking at an African-American. Most recently, we've seen reporting from NBC saying that he perhaps is looking for a candidate who isn't as hardline on the abortion question, obviously something that Biden and the Democrats want to use to catalyze the election, given Alabama's recent ruling on IVF and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. That all said, who are you, if you're able to reveal, are hearing are on the short list? And out of that, are there any that seem to have caught your eye?
Well, first of all, I think there's a couple criteria here. First and foremost, the president needs to pick an individual who actually has the experience, the judgment, the temperament to credibly be seen as voters by voters to actually be president. Secondarily, I think he needs someone who, if God forbid anything happened to President Trump, would continue the America First agenda,
yes,
the MAGA agenda. Then you can start looking at political considerations. Now, there's really two schools of thought. Former President Nixon specifically told me that when looking for a running mate for vice president, don't look for someone who can help you, just choose someone who doesn't harm you. It's the do no harm school. That's one possibility. If that were true, then perhaps you'd go to Dr. Ben Carson or someone who would be reassuring to the base, but probably would not get you any votes you don't already have. The other possibility is to look at the polls and say that Trump is below 50 everywhere, even though he's leading Biden. Generally speaking, he's just below 50, and he needs some new votes. So if you look at the three voter groups where he clearly can make additional ground, they are African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, and women. He's already made substantial gains among Hispanic-American voters. It's interesting that most of those gains have been among Spanish-speaking voters who get their news in English rather than Spanish-speaking voters who get their news in Spanish. There's a strategic piece of advice there in terms of where to advertise to make gains among Hispanics. I would argue that the candidate who's getting you more African-American votes is Donald Trump. Trump is the one who, it is not only the persecution of Trump, which is a small part of this, but also economic issues driving it, not to mention his record on criminal justice reform, which frankly, I don't think he talked enough about in 2020, and he should talk more about in the upcoming campaign. Also, I would argue that among Hispanic Americans, since there is no kind of obvious Hispanic Republican who would have to be outside of Florida because of the 12th Amendment, there is no logical Hispanic American candidate in the party. But Trump is already breaking 50% among Hispanics, which is historic. Therefore, I argue that where we really need to make gains, and this has been true since 2016, is among women. Now, I obviously have I'm not endorsing any candidate, and I'm not making a recommendation to the president, but I have been intrigued by the possibility of Tulsi Gabbard. And this has gotten quite a reaction, both positive and negative. Here is my argument. She's a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve. She's a combat veteran of both Iraq and Kuwait. She's a former Democrat, where we need to win some Democrats. She's on the key issues of war, the Second Amendment, abortion, and the border. She is rock solid. Some say, well, she was for Bernie Sanders. Well, Bernie Sanders was the anti-war candidate in a race against Hillary Clinton. Ronald Reagan was once a Democrat. People change. She's been a very articulate defender of President Trump in the entire issue of the weaponization of criminal justice. She's a championship surfer. I think she would have an appeal both to women and to millennials. I don't know what the president is going to do. If he has a short list, it's known only to him. I don't get the impression that he's in a hurry to make this decision. He does have time. He doesn't have to make it until July.
Still March.
I trust him to make the right decision, but right now I don't get the instinct that there is necessarily a front runner, and he's looking at many options.
You know, Tulsi Gabbard, when she was still a congresswoman, even long before Trump had ever announced and was, you know, she was still working in the House, I remember her specifically catching my eye by 2013, 2014 for being one of the only Democrats, really only people in Washington willing, number one, because ISIS was a huge issue at the time. She was one of the only people to actually use the phrase radical Islam and talk about what it was as a threat that the United States was facing. It wasn't the lack of democracy in Syria or the lack of democracy in Iraq. It was a specific threat that could be tailored to a specific operation. That was number one. And then number two, obviously, was the border, a completely out of control border situation. And I remember thinking, who is this? It's this Democrat who's willing to actually talk about these issues more so than the people in our own party in many cases. That's also part of my anxiety or I guess disdain a little bit. Maybe not disdain is a bit hard, but part of my issue with the Republicans yesterday going on the talk shows was that they spent the entire time talking about the phrase bloodbath. Should we have said it? Should he not have said it? Rather than actually putting forward talking points of our own. She's doing that.
Yeah, no, I think they need to shift back to immigration, which is the number one issue in the country, and the impact in terms of crime, drugs, fentanyl, obviously, and also the fiscal crisis that it's causing for cities and counties and states. But I also, look, weighing against her is the fact that on impeachment, no, she did not vote for impeachment. She voted
present.
She voted present. I still think politics is about addition, not subtraction. Therefore, you need a candidate who can bring you some new voters.
Would that be your same answer to the fact that she did, after dropping out of the 2020 race, endorse Biden?
I think that was a mistake. I think she's got to explain that, but it's pretty simple. Biden didn't turn out to be anything that we thought he was. Remember, he was talking about bringing civility back to government. There's been no civility. He's been talking about steering a more moderate course. He hasn't been a moderate. He's been a radical progressive. So there's a bunch of voters out there who voted for Joe Biden last time, but we need to vote for Donald Trump this time.
That's right.
Because they now realize they made a mistake. I think she can speak directly to those voters.
I think there's a number of names out there. I think it would be foolish for anyone to discuss the VP race without talking about her. But as you say, we've got a lot of time between now and the convention. There really is no rush. This has got to be one of the presidential campaigns that's been, or the primaries, that's been locked up as fast as possible that I've ever seen. This is not one of those shootouts that's going all the way to Indiana like we saw with Ted Cruz. This is definitely not going to a brokered convention, much to the chagrin of many. But instead, it looks as though President Trump is in all but name locked up the presidential nomination. And so he himself has the time to really look at these. And I expect that his vetting process, I expect that he's going to look out there to see who's defending him the most in the media, who's actually taking a stand, who's putting points on the board, and that as well fits those criteria that you mentioned. I think that someone who can step up and lead on day one is something that actually is very important to him. And while so many people focus on the electability question, that's another thing that he looks at as well. We've got about 1 minute to the break, Roger.
I'll say what I think we will not see. We will not see ticket balancing. I think you will not see him pick some neocon to satisfy those in the Republican Party who are never for him and are not for him today. I think you will find him picking someone who is solid on the major issues of war, the Second Amendment, abortion, and the border, and the deep state. I think that's an absolute criteria.
And these are the top issues of this election. There's no question. Obviously, there's a lot of room in the Republican Party for many issues, but those, safety, economy, that's absolutely clear. Coming back here, Roger Stone, live, West Palm Beach.
Working long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, West Palm Beach. We're live with Roger Stone. Roger, one of the questions, by the way, I've got to tell you, the chat is half the chat is up in arms against you, half the chat is up in arms with you on the Tulsi Gabbard question. Some people saying, no, give her the VA or something. The other half saying, I'd love to see Tulsi in a cage fight against cackling Harris yet again.
Yeah, that makes a very good point. Anybody who watches that debate, she destroyed Kamala Harris in the debate, and she's sure-footed. This is another factor. I mean, one thing that could be said about Ben Carson, Vivek Ramaswamy, or Tulsi Gabbard, they've all run for president before. They know how it works. They have a much better idea of how the fake news media is trying to trip you up from day one and embarrass you. And sure-footedness, again, speaks back to that idea that you choose someone who will do no harm. I'm interested in creative ways to bring in more votes. Politics is about addition, not subtraction. Again, I haven't endorsed anybody, and I'll be for whoever Donald Trump selects, but I don't think that's going to happen tomorrow.
Now, you mentioned the 12th Amendment regarding presidential, this idea of the two candidates being from the same state. That's not something a lot of people understand. I know it came up once with Bush and Cheney, because at the time of their running, I think they were both registered out of Texas, and then Cheney changes his residence to avoid the question back to Wyoming, which he had actually represented. So what is the constitutional requirement there?
So the 12th Amendment of the Constitution holds that in the Electoral College, the candidate for president and vice president cannot be from the same state unless, and it's permissible, but if you do that, then, and you carry the state, in this case Florida, you would forfeit the Electoral College votes of that state. Well, the Republicans cannot afford to do that. So you've heard this in the very beginning. People kept saying, oh, the Trump DeSantis is the perfect ticket.
Right.
That's how we resolve our inner family fight. Well, that couldn't happen because both of them are legal residents of Florida. Same reason you can't have Donald Trump and Congressman Byron Donalds, who I like very much.
Roger, one of the reasons, by the way, that I'm in town, and it's been great to be able to see you and spend some time with you, is that we have this Catholics for Catholics event, but it's really turning into a national prayer rally for President Trump tomorrow night, Mar-a-Lago. You, myself, Jim Caviezel, Tim Ballard, Michael Knowles will be stopping by. It's really turned into this who's who. I think Nigel Farage is going to be there, noted Anglican. Nigel Farage will be there. Why is it important that we are holding this event to pray for the president? And, of course, General Flynn, I would be remiss not to mention that.
Because I think prayer is an essential part of our victory strategy. When I went through the Mueller investigation, I hit rock bottom before I finally returned to the Lord and was redeemed in the blood of the cross.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? I was once pro-choice. That was a long time ago when my great grandson was born, it touched my heart. It changed my view. So the people on Twitter saying, well, Stone's not a good Catholic. He's pro-abortion. Yeah. 30 years ago, as a libertarian, I thought, well, the government should not tell a woman what they can do with their body.
By the way, so is the Catholic president right now is pro-choice. I don't recall much of the Catholic establishment being upset with him.
So I think it's going to be a great event. We've taken some garbage for it. I don't quite understand this entire attack on us as Christian nationalists. Let's break this down. We're Christians. We believe in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit.
It's called Christmas and Easter.
We believe in an almighty God. And secondarily, we're nationalists. We love our country, and we think it was founded on Christian values. That's not disputable. It's on our money. It's in our founding documents. But they make it sound like that means you're some kind of terrorist or some kind of radical. There's nothing radical in our views. We're actually in the mainstream of America. They're the ones who are outside of the mainstream. So I think it's going to be a great event. I'm really looking forward to it. And folks can get more information and see us there.
C4C.org/events. Anyone wants to check it out, we will be there tomorrow night. We'll definitely get video of that for the Real America's audience. Go make sure you check out Roger Stone in the Stone Zone every single day. Honored to have you here, Roger. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, if you have my permission, delay a short.